Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Slaughter Podcast will be discussing topics that some listeners may find disturbing.
If you're still with us and you're looking for a well-researched, funny and insightful true crime podcast, this isn't for you.
Welcome to episode 3 of Slaughter. I'm Lucy.
I'm Emma.
And we're happy to be here again with you.
Loving it. How's your week been?
I've been super sick. I've had, I think, norovirus. And do you know when you've done so much research into murder and you've watched Marianne Cotton documentary and you
stop saying it's a documentary.
drama. And you start suspecting everyone of poisoning your food with arsenic. So I went to stay with my mum. And I've been up and down and getting sicker and better.
I reckon she would poison you as well.
I was starting to look at her differently.
That's definitely her style.
So a lot's been happening this week in terms of politics, but we are not going to talk about politics this week. You came here for murder. We don't judge you for that. We accept you. You come here with that love and we take that, you join us, and we will not talk about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton on this podcast.
No, and not because we're ill-informed.
But that doesn't help.
But this week does mark a big milestone in our podcast's career.
It does indeed.
We got our first ever 1-star review! Yay! 1-star review! But they didn't tell us how to improve. It was... Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, no, they just flat out hated it.
Yeah, and my favourite bit, really, like, I've got to appreciate it, like, to an extent, because their main thing was that words failed them. Like, they couldn't, they said words could not describe how bad this was, but they took the time to write some of them down. So, really pushing through the barriers there.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a really angry, bitter person, but this is free.
Yeah,
you don't have to listen to this. No one's making you listen to this. In fact, we're just doing it for fun.
I think some people are really like have a different idea of what this setup is. Yeah. Like, it's literally we've had a wine, we're in my living room with the tiniest microphone you can imagine. Yeah, thanks so much for everyone that has been listening, and we have had some great reviews, so thanks for those.
Okay, so my murderers today are John Shaw and Jeffrey Evans, and I think we officially need to, because of me, and I take full responsibility, make it UK and Ireland True Crime Podcast.
Good clarification.
Because these are from Ireland, and I don't even know which bits are in the UK or not, so...
We're separated by water. Yeah, it's fine.
There we go. But they were born in Lancashire, so anyway.
Totes counts.
Yeah. Jeffrey Evans was born and grew up in Lancashire, and he was pretty vile. There's not a lot about their childhood. Have you heard of these, Shaw and Evans?
What sort of time period is it?
1970s-ish.
No,
not many people have.
Was but a twinkle in my dad's eye.
Yeah, they're really bad and not many people have heard of them. There's not much information about how Shaw and Evans met, but they were both in prison, so I'm assuming they met in prison.
I'd like to think they were in the queue for dinner and he was like, oh, do you want that slap? And he was like, no, you can have it. And from then on, they were best friends.
Yeah. Well, that might be how the beautiful, beautiful story happened. I mean, they were both a disgrace.
To be best friends murderers, like, you've got to be pretty, like, serious best friends. Because, like, if you're in a relationship, I understand how you can be totally enthralled by that person and, like, you'd do anything for them and get swept up along in things. Not that I'm going to be coerced into murder myself.
But, I mean, for two friends...
None of my Tinder dates have gone that well. But... For two, like, for to two have your friends to have
a
it.
Weird fascination, what are the chances?
Oh yeah.
So they had both been involved in rapes and burglary and thefts, killer three. Then they were wanted by the police, so they were released from prison, and then they were still wanted for some reason. I don't know the details. This is not well informed, but this is what I found out. And then they fled together to Ireland in 1974. So they both thought, right, well, we'll just leave together. We'll just go on the run. We're not going back to prison.
This is so adorable. This is like the male Thelma and Louise.
Well, it's not. It's really not.
So far.
So far.
So far. I mean, I've got prior knowledge.
No. So Evans was the brains. I think basically Shaw was pretty low IQ. The beauty.
He was bringing the face.
Or brawn. Brains and brawn.
Yeah.
So Evans took charge of their plans, and they basically made a pact when they left for Ireland that they would break into houses, rape the women in them, and then murder them.
Oh, so that's the plan. Like, once we get to Ireland, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna go out. We're going to drive around.
Paint the town red.
Break into houses.
With the blood of our victims.
Do a bit of rape. Bit of murder. Move on to the next place.
For money. As like a way of...
They were going to steal. But also, I mean, they didn't have to rape anyone.
The thing about rape is you never have to do it.
The rape's just for yourself, isn't it?
Pure selfishness.
The murder and the theft.
We should just call it selfish sex.
Selfish sex. I'm sorry, we don't mean to downplay rape. It is
not at all
a horrific problem. And they decided they were going to do this to one woman a week. So, I mean...
With a time scale as well.
This is a long-term plan.
It's very, like... That's so rigid, like... Okay, this used to be fun. I was enjoying myself, and now you're nagging me all the time. Like, come and get a rape done. Come and get a rape done. Like, surely that takes a lot of the excitement out of it when it's like, oh, got to do it this week.
I'm genuinely getting quite sad about
the
message that we're sending out about rape.
I'm just thinking, like, I don't know. As a partnership, like, you think a murder spree, if that's what they're into,
I mean, would be all about
the thrill of it. I didn't realise it would be so, like, we're going to stick to the schedule.
Yeah. No, that, I mean, it's very precise, isn't it? Whereas a lot of murderers kind of, they just kind of go for it, and there's, like, a couple of weeks. Not all. I mean, there's
like Yorkshire Ripper, like, which is over a long
period of time, but this was very controlled. I mean, they didn't do a lot, really, to be honest, out of this plan. It wasn't a long-term thing that happened. So after making this plan, they were discovered in Cork, and they were put in prison. The end. No, not the end. We wish. So due to an administration error, someone signed the wrong form in the wrong place or something like that, the two were both released after 18 months at the same time.
That's really bizarre. An error that... freed them both. You'd think a mistake might free one.
Yeah. But I think these administration
Sharon
errors.
Was having a bad day in the office. She'd ran over a cat and she just couldn't focus.
She's like, sorry, I used purple pen. I couldn't find the blue one. They're going to have to let them go.
I got really told off the other day because we have to use red pen for one register, black pen for another register. And I couldn't find a black pen, so I used a pencil, and dear God, the post-it note that came back for me.
Passive-aggressive post-it note.
This is an official document and must be filled out accordingly. I was like, bitch, go over it in black pen if it bothers you so much.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to have an administrative error that sticks a black pen in her face.
The men headed towards Britus, and they happened across Elizabeth Plunkett, who was age 23, and she had a fight with a boyfriend and walked out of the pub, and it was raining, and she'd gone, I'm just going to walk home. And that's exactly the kind of thing that I would do if I was annoyed. I'd be like, nah, fine, I'm going to walk home, I'm going to cut off my nose to spite my face, you're going to feel real guilty, because I'm going to walk home, it's 5 miles, it's going to take me hours, but I hope you feel real bad about this. So she headed home in the terrible weather, and the two men stopped and offered her a lift, and she said yes. She accepted. And this is the 70s. So I guess it wasn't as unusual to hitchhike. I know that it was far more common even 20, 30 years ago.
I don't know. I still think don't get in a car with strangers would have been a big message for anyone.
Yeah,
I don't care what time it was.
So they drove her to Castle Tymon and they raped her in the woods repeatedly. So she was just used and abused. They then choked her to death with a nylon sleeve. Shaw completed the act. Evans was the boss, kind of ordering them around.
Oh, so it is like brains and the brawn.
It is brains and brawn. And then they weighed down her body, stole a boat, and threw her in the sea.
My goodness.
So she's...
That's like a long endeavour, like... You know, going from the car to the woods to the boat, like, it's surprising that they were able to do that without being scared.
Yeah, I thought that. There's a lot of things there. I mean, stealing the boat, that's more evidence. That's someone else who's affected.
Another location, another lot of evidence, like, another lot of DNA. Although, I suppose that wasn't really...
Yeah.
Would have been very early stages.
So, they were fine. They got away with that for now. That was in August. So on September 10th, 1976, same year, the next month, the men bought a mobile home and they stole a car. And they...
Unnecessary.
Yeah.
So they the benefit of the mobile home is that you drive your home to where it wants to be.
I love how they saved up.
They also need a car.
They bought the mobile home, but they stole the car. It's like, can you not just buy a car? And that they didn't want to get caught.
You know all our money is tied up in the mobile home.
I've binged on his mobile home. It's got a cooker, it's got cleaning.
But again, that's why you don't need a car.
Yeah. So they stole a car and they changed the number plate really, really poorly. And they also bought some paint and they painted it black. So they just went to a shop, bought some black car paint, and they did the most horrific job. So bad a job that when they went to the petrol station attendant was so suspicious that he wrote down the number of the number plate.
I think he would, yeah.
Yeah, he was like that. I mean, black for one, probably splotchy, smeary, possibly emulsion.
There's a bit of satin wood.
Yeah. So he was very suspicious. So that's going to come back later. That's important.
Right.
The next day after they stole this car, Mary Duffy, a young local woman, she was a cook, was finishing her shift at a local coffee shop about 11 p.m. And she always got a lift home from her brother. And she tried phoning her brother. I assume it was a landline. And her brother was already giving someone else a lift when she called. So she said to the person... I'm going to start walking. Just tell him to come and get me when he's done.
Okay.
And Shaw had been watching her and followed her. And he dragged her to the ground and he punched her so hard, her braces broke out of her mouth. Now, I had a look at 1970s braces. And they were, like, do you know you have the little bits that stick on to your teeth and the bar between? They wrapped around your teeth.
You're kidding.
So they were like wrap around braces. So I'm not sure exactly how that came, but it just sounds horrendous that she was punched and they just flew out. So clearly they found those. Evans pulled over and Shaw put her in the car and they drove to Ballinahinch and pitched a tent and held her captive and again repeatedly raped her. So, I mean, they're in it for some sexual gratification. This is not just...
Yeah. It's more... The murder is more of just a way of getting rid of...
Yeah.
Leaving no witnesses, basically.
They want the rape. The murder's just... Because
seen as, like, a means to an end.
So, they tied her to a tree for 24 hours after that.
Again, things like that, you'd think that length of period of time of being exposed would... get them caught, get them found.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming it's quite a secluded woods. I mean, that poor girl, she's being raped.
Where are the dog walkers?
Yeah. And then they gave her tablets and suffocated her. I mean, I'm not sure what the point in the tablets was.
So she didn't struggle?
Possibly. I mean, they've got her tied up anyway. I mean, I'd rather be high if I'm getting murdered, if I'm honest, but I'd rather not get murdered. So they then weighed down her body with a concrete block and threw it in a lake.
They found what works for them.
Yeah, it worked the first time.
And they're
time.
Sticking to it.
Stick with what you know. She wasn't reported missing by family immediately, as they assumed she'd spent the night in town. So they...
See, that's something that my parents would never have allowed happen. One time, I was like 20 minutes late back from the cinema, and all hell broke loose. Parents, friends, parents were called. Like, there was like a group of adults driving around town. I was in so much trouble. I was like, oh my god, the bus was late. Like, what do you want?
But that's good. That's good. That's why you haven't been murdered. True. But she, I mean, she was only young, but I guess you didn't have mobile phones then. And then I think she was old. I mean, she had a job. She was old enough to kind of be like, oh, I'm going to go stay at my friend's house.
Yeah.
So they're not targeting super young. And I mean, obviously, they're opportunistic at this point.
Yes.
This is just like a woman on her own. This is done. So investigations into Elizabeth's disappearance continued. People came forward having seen a young girl leaving a pub and then a young girl getting into a car with two men. So there started to be some witnesses. So like we said, how come people didn't say? Well, they did a little bit. So after hearing of two men being placed as involved in Elizabeth's disappearance, after they said there were two men involved, the petrol station attendant phoned the police and basically said there was a dodgy car here. And this is what it looked like. And this is the license plate. And the hunt began for those two men. So now they're linked right. to this murder. And they also connected that to the first murder of Elizabeth Plunkett. So they realised it was the same people just because it was really rare for this kind of thing to happen. And there's quite a lot of similarities in those two murders. But at this point, they were disappearances. So Shaw Evans went out for a third killing and they picked up another young woman. Now, this one's not as well documented, so if I'm wrong, I apologise, but this is what I read. The woman felt uneasy about the two men, so she got in the car with them and then she changed her mind and thought, this is weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a car with two men that I don't know. This probably isn't a good idea.
The air freshener's making me feel sick.
Yeah, and the upholstery is spattered with blood. So, oh no, it wouldn't have been bloody, would it? But she had an uneasy feeling anyway. So she asked to use the toilet. They pulled over, went to a pub. She went to the toilet, climbed out the window of the toilet in order to escape the man. Good girl. Well done.
Impressive.
I mean, she's really lucky they stopped.
Yeah, and that they weren't just like pulled over at the side of the road and like, well, go behind a bush then.
Or that they even cared she needed the toilet, given what they've done. I mean,
yeah, they're giving up. We'll just wait.
Well, don't worry about it. So she got away really luckily. Then the car was spotted on September the 27th. So this is 17 days after the second killing, and the men were taken in for questioning, and they were charged with possession of a stolen car, but that was more just to keep them, because they knew there was a link between them and these women disappearing. And they used Shaw's Catholic faith against him during questioning, which resulted in him confessing to both killings and their future plans to kill others.
Just like preying on the Catholic guilt.
Yeah, they kind of said, well, you're a good Catholic boy, how could this happen?
And easy, confess afterwards.
Yeah, done. On your deathbed, even. So, apparently, during the three-hour statement Shaw gave, he said, God help me, the devil made me do it. Keep him away from me. So, I'm not sure if he meant Evans or if he actually meant the devil. But no one's making you rape and kill two women, really. Like, you can bow out of that at some point.
Not if the devil's got a hold of you.
So, Shaw seemed upset. Evans didn't seem bothered. He didn't have much remorse for his actions at any point, ever.
Those Protestant bastards.
And they were both found guilty of murder, and they were both given life sentences. So, this was in the 70s. But you're wondering, where are they now?
Where are they now?
We can actually ask me this time because I actually know.
Say, Lucy, where are these guys now?
Evans had heart surgery in 2008.
Where?
I just have no idea. In prison.
Okay.
Which resulted in complications, and he spent 4 years in a coma, and then he died at age 69.
Wow.
So he is dead as a door now. And Shaw is still in prison, where he will never be released. So there was a talk about them getting out at some point, but the families appealed it, and quite rightly, they were told they could rot in jail.
Nope.
They ain't never getting out. So that's Shaun Evans, two disgraceful men.
Delightful.
Did some disgraceful actions.
I really want to know, like, I wish they'd had a little podcast of their own. Like, I want to know more about their relationship. Like, what were you bringing to the friendship table? Like, yeah. What was it that interested you? Did they have obviously the shared hobby in raping, I guess, but how do you get around to that topic of conversation?
I mean, it must have been Evan sort of inciting that, like, oh, have you ever thought about, I know you like raping, but rape and murder?
And maybe, I know you like being organised, so maybe if we do it, like, bang on once a week?
Or maybe, like, we buy, in fact, steal a car and paint it black and we'll be like...
And let's get t-shirts. Definitely t-shirts with nicknames on the back.
Yeah, in the Batmobile.
Oh my God, are we doing this?
No.
Okay, so my murder is, obviously we didn't discuss, but mine's also from the 70s, 74, 76 sort of era. And another one from a similar area too, around Lancashire. So
it's like we're telepathic.
I know. Do you want to do a rape?
No.
Good. You passed the test. So this guy had a nickname is what drew me to him, because I love when they get given a nickname by the media because they're usually really pretty rubbish. This guy was called the Beast of Manchester.
The Beast of Manchester. That makes me think of like a feral animal. Did he wear a mask?
No. It literally makes me think of many men from Manchester.
It's not like a gay male. Oh, that's a bear, isn't it?
Yeah. Are you thinking of like Alyssa Edwards? Boost!
Yes.
Sorry, there's the murder drag crossover you've all been waiting for. But no, so this guy, the Beast of Manchester, Boost, is Trevor Hardy. A lovely little man. Height is a big thing for me. Like, when I found out that Charles Manson was only 5'4", I was like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Small man syndrome.
And yet also doesn't make sense, because how were all these women having sex with him? Trevor Hardy is 5'7", exactly the same height as me. So it would be a no from me, straight from the off. Like, there's no amount of Cuban heel that can wreck.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
That in my eyes. So yeah, I find that's important.
I do feel bad for a small man, because there's nothing you can do. I mean, was it in the, like, the late 1800s that they could wear a pair of platforms and it was totally fine?
Pattern shoes.
Yeah, and now there's literally nothing. I think stand far away.
There's like a lot of other people that I feel sorry for first before I get round to the short ones.
What I find the funniest,
myself being one.
What I find funniest though is if they lie on a dating profile about their height, as if you're not gonna find that out. Like, oh, I'm 6'2", and they turn up and you just go, well, they said they were 6'2". Like, we can see you.
Yeah, my eyes are level with your forehead.
Yeah, like, we know.
So yeah, so it's, again, this is a lot of parallels. So Trevor, he was a bully at school, like,
because he was short.
Really,
we're gonna get a lot of angry emails from short men. They are not our demographic.
They're adorable.
They're not gonna like that.
Adorable. But so he was not great as a child ever. He spent a lot of time moving to like schools, bore stalls, in various institutions at school. His family were quite an ordinary family. His mum and dad, both quite, I don't know, I would say middly class, like working class, but like, you know, clean, well paid for, together. Yeah. And they were just like really ashamed.
Yeah, you
like,
would be,
it was not,
you?
Like, they didn't really want to tell their friends about it. It was not what they were about. He was always into theft, petty burglary, like, massively young age, because at 15 he went to jail for a year with over 20 burglaries on his rap sheet at 15 years old. So
that's the problem with kids though. What if you get a duffer? Like, what if it's not a good one? You can't
shove it back in.
Yeah, what can you do? Unless you'd be like in Gavin and Stacey, where there's that next door neighbour and she's like, oh, she was a right bitch though, my daughter, wasn't she? And they're like, yeah. Just didn't clear disown them.
Well, they didn't, because that, like I said, they seemed to be a lovely parents. There was nothing untoward, no abuse, no anything like that. And he did still have contact with them as an adult. They had another son, and this came, Trevor Hardy said, was of big significance, and his younger brother also felt that the sibling rivalry was a big factor in both his behaviour escalating and the fact that his parents now no longer tolerated his behaviour as much, because they were like, well, your brother doesn't do that sort, yeah, of thing. Definitely. They had something to compare him to, someone who wasn't getting into fights, who wasn't going out stealing. And
it's
I
like
think
when you worked in one company and you think, oh, well, maybe your jobs are like this, then you worked in another and you're like, well, my last job, they didn't do this. Well, like, you've got something, you've got a benchmark there, haven't you?
Well, I think he just took it the way of, like, there's no point trying anymore. Like, I'm never going to be the favourite, so I might as well just be the worst.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So, once you go out of prison as a teenager, which is difficult. I mean, if you go to prison at a young age, in your formative years, you're getting exposed to a lot of people that have maybe done worse things than you, and you're not having a family situation, like, it's not going to help you to rehabilitate either as a into no. an adult, is it? It's not the path of a well-rounded grown-up. So he the violence increased when he came out. He was getting into bar fights regularly, going out, getting pierced. He the story of one time he just stabbed a guy in the leg because that was sort of his thing. So he was regularly carrying knives around with him and other weapons. One night he eventually had a quarrel with a guy over a round of drinks, whose turn it was to buy. And I mean, that's a big deal. Like,
yeah, I do hate those people who will not buy a round.
I don't know what it's like in America, where a lot of our listeners are from, but if you go out with a group of people, you take turns to buy the round, and it's, you shouldn't have to bring it up. Like, we shouldn't have to point it out. Like, as soon as we start getting down to the bottom third of your drink, someone needs to stand the fuck up and say, I'm going to get the next ones.
I hate it, though, when there's about four people and you're one of them and you know it's your next round and everyone's not talking about leaving. And you're like, I haven't bought a drink yet. I'm so sorry.
You have to stay.
Shall I give you some money? It's that awkward final 5 minutes where you're like, do you want one before we go?
So anyway, he got in a quarrel with a guy about a round of drinks, and he knocked the guy out with a pickaxe, which he had brought to the pub.
Okay.
I don't know how he concealed that.
Maybe it was like a medieval dress at night.
But he, yeah, knocked him out with his pickaxe, and so this guy, he didn't, his intent wasn't to murder, his intent was to fuck him up. But this guy went to hospital and did eventually die of his injuries days later. So he was convicted with wounding to with intent. This was in 1974. So then, 1975, about 6 weeks after his release from prison, Trevor was out walking. It was New Year's Eve. A girl called Janet Leslie Stewart was on her way home from a New Year's Eve party and disappeared. The story goes that she met Hardy on her way back and he had stabbed her in the neck and buried her in a shallow grave.
God.
I mean, the stabbing in the neck, you'd have to be really close to each other. You know, it's very intimate, very aggressive sort of death. Well, so to do that, very her, personal,
just met her walking in the street.
But this murder, she'd just been assumed missing, and was not until after he was caught that this was even connected or brought about. So then later on, months later, in July 1975, Hardy meets his paramour, who had become a key player in the story. He met 30-year-old Sheila Farrow their first night. They met in a pub. Their eyes met across the what would have been terribly smoky at that time place, probably helped, and went back to
her, from here.
Went back to hers, had sex the first time. He had said to his brother later it wasn't very good. They'd done it on the kitchen floor, and
Come on, if you do it on the kitchen floor, it's not going to be that great.
And her 8-year-old boy kept interrupting as well. It's also believed that this was... I wrote a note here that said virginity, and I was about to say that it was his virginity, and then I've just remembered what I was referring to, which is one of my exes. I don't want to say his name, but the main one.
Yeah.
He lost his virginity in quite similar circumstances. Not on the kitchen floor, but he was...
With an 8-year-old.
He was babysitting with the girl, and they were babysitting her younger brother. And so, like, they were getting on his first ever time having sex, and she had to get up halfway through to go and check on her younger brother.
Oh, no.
And I'm not even... You don't have to get up halfway through and check, so it couldn't have been amazing.
Yeah, if he's 8, he's not going to be crying like a newborn.
I don't know how old he was. Stop confusing the stories!
Oh, yeah. No, that's grim. Something I didn't know.
Also, have sex on a kitchen floor. Give it a go.
Oh, it's gone.
Put a tea towel down. Give it a go.
A tea towel is not going to buff up. memory foam mattress.
Put some oven gloves down, get on with it. So anyway, so and from then on they were together. One of the great loves of the century.
Despite the crappy sex.
Just the first time. Let's be balanced. Not all sexual encounters are amazing the first time. Anyway, so moving on from that, sometime later, a body was discovered of Wanda Scala. A passerby was walking and saw a pair of legs protruding out of a pile of bricks near a construction site. When they were recovering the body, the facial features had been totally mutilated and there were bite marks all over. She was 17 and had been walking home from her job in a pub, and Hardy had beaten her in the head. Was her cause of death was being hit in the head with one of these bricks. There was no signs of rape or sexual assault other than she'd had one nipple bitten off.
Oh God.
That
must have been, I mean, do you know when someone bites your nipple just a little bit too hard and it is horrifically painful?
Yeah.
That must have been, oh God, I can't
imagine. I mean, it was mentioned, it was mentioned like there was another, I can't quite remember who, but that Hardy had been researching other murderers and there was one person who had bitten nipples off and they think he was sort of trying it out as like a signature thing. But then, like I said, the face had been mutilated and officers needed to search for her eyes that were missing.
Oh, God.
And they were later found...
Oh, something about eyes, isn't there?
Buried in her abdomen. Like, he'd really just played with it, taken out the eyes and put them somewhere else. There was also various other things missing. Her handbag, a ring, her shoes. Odd things that he had taken as souvenirs. It's believed that initially he had thought, he thought she was someone else.
But I mean, not that it's okay, because it was for the other woman. The poor woman. Girl, really.
2 days later, while it was still a crime scene, her shoes had been returned. Found the shoes which previously hadn't been there. So Hardy had obviously returned to the scene of the crime and replaced them, almost like he was taunting them, or he'd taken them as a souvenir and then thought, oh God, this is too incriminating, must put them back. But I just can't comprehend how you would. They say return to the scene of the crime, but to actually do it is a whole other matter.
It's a strange thing to do, isn't it? Rather than just burn them or throw them out or give them to a charity shop or, I don't know.
Trevor Hardy's younger brother, the lovely Colin, he went over to a little while after this, went over to his parents' house. And as we said, Trevor was still in contact with his parents and Trevor was there. Now, Colin and him had never got on because of this rivalry. And so he wasn't really comfortable with it, but Trevor had persuaded him, like, come out for a drink with me. And I think even then was frightened, a bit intimidated. And Trevor, like I said, was well known for getting in fights, bar fights, carrying weapons. He wasn't the sort of person that you said no to if he wanted it. So they went out for a drink, and as soon as they had a couple of drinks, Trevor began boasting to his brother about the fact that he'd killed Wanda Scala.
Oh my God.
Complete deadpan, no emotion. And almost as if he was like a power trick, just saying, like, trying to threaten him, try to intimidate him and say that he'd done this stuff. His lovely Sheila Farrow was there too, and Hardy insisted that both him and Sheila went back to Colin's house. Like, come on, let's go back, let's party, let's have more drinks. They got back and Trevor basically still started beating up Colin, like he was unconscious by the end, and immediately after said to Colin's wife, make her the beans on toast then, which she had to while he was lying there unconscious, which, again, absolutely terrified of him, she just did it. and then until they and just totally placated him until he left. So the next day, Colin was okay and very bravely went to the police to report his brother.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing that he was so violent that he would know exactly who it was as well that had reported him. There was no, like, he told him he would know exactly who it was. So he went and reported it to police and Trevor was arrested. But once there, just denied everything. So it was his word against Collins. The only way they could do it was to get some evidence. And the only physical evidence they had was this, was the bite mark where the nipple had been bitten off.
Aww.
So they go to Trevor to take
teeth impressions
and discovered that whilst he'd been alone in his cell, he had somehow arranged for a file to be smuggled in and had filed his down his teeth.
Oh my God. Surely that's enough. Lock him up. Come on.
I thought that. I was like, surely the fact that his teeth had been filed. I mean, apparently the I watched a documentary about it and someone said that he had filed his teeth what must have been past nerve level.
Oh, no.
The level of commitment to doing that. It would have been so painful to do it to yourself. Ridiculously painful. So any lengths. And I think surely that tells you, like, that he's so, so guilty.
Like he's never eaten a fudge again in his life.
Which probably would have been fine had Sheila, Lady Love, not given him an alibi too. So he was let go.
Do you think that was out of fear, or do you think she was just infatuated?
Oh, she loved him at that point. So obviously Colin's shitting himself, like, at this point.
Yeah.
Trevor shows up at his house.
No.
And
where is the police on the door? Come on.
Well, this is what I'm saying. So they called the police immediately, and as it was the 70s, they didn't show up and arrest him because he was just there, so they just proper kicked the shit out of him. just beat him up, and they're like, on your way, lad. So that was in around July. In December, as a just a random little twist in the tale of 1975, there was a fire in the neighbourhood. And Trevor actually rescued the family who were in the house and was in all the newspapers, being praised as like a local hero. But it would actually later come out that he'd started the fire himself. So it wasn't that he was just passing by. I was like, yeah, I'll save you. Not sure whether it was done because he wanted to be the hero or whether he set fire to the house and then thought, oh shit, there's people inside. That's just a little bizarre twist in his tale. So then nothing for a while, and we get to March of the following year, and Sharon Mossoff went missing on her way home from town, and her body was found in a canal only 200 yards from her house, and turned out that she'd been strangled with her own tights and thrown in. And the nipple had been bitten off again.
No.
I mean, my immediate thought was, where are you buying your tights from? Because when I put on any pair of tights, those bitches are getting laddered. I couldn't strangle a thing with my tights. I can barely get them on my legs without damage. So 70s tights were either lead-lined or let me know.
But he's got no teeth. He's still biting off nipples.
He's got some teeth. Like, he filed them down to, like, little sharky points.
He's going to have to file them all again to make sure he doesn't get teeth impressions.
Well, at this point, he was then on the run because he had tried to attack a woman in a pub toilet and was wanted for that. So he was on the run. The police went round to visit Sheila, and they had split up at this point, and she was not holding back. She was the perfect ex-revenge. Was like, yep, I lied before. No. He doesn't have an alibi for the night of Wanda Scala's murder.
Break up with me, will you? Well, yeah. She's going down.
So he was arrested immediately when they knew that the alibi was false, and basically just confessed.
Oh.
He didn't really... there wasn't much reason to deny it at this point. They had... the fact that he'd filed his teeth down, he'd confessed it to his brother, and no alibi anymore. So he confessed to both Wanda Scala's and to Sharon Mossoff's murder with
And also to missing Leslie Stewart from before, who they hadn't even suspected him of. When they went and found her body, they found that he'd actually kept going back. Once he'd killed her and buried her, he'd been going back and removing things from the body for the past year. So trying to prolong that high of having killed her. Because it seemed like they were opportunistic. Well, they were opportunistic, girls walking home.
Yeah.
But yet he was also getting a real satisfaction.
He's obviously enjoying the violence.
Keeping souvenirs of what he's done. He claimed all the murders were just a mugging gone wrong. He'd tried to mug them and then it hadn't worked out and he'd ended up having to kill them. And he's one of those amazing ones that, when it got to trial, fired his QC and was like, I'm going to defend myself. Like, when has that worked out?
I don't know, I think there was one who did it really well. Wasn't there one that you talked about before that did a really good job of defending himself and everyone was well impressed? I don't know if it was Bundy, actually. I'll have to look that up.
Oh, yeah, Bundy did. Yeah. Tried to do it,
and they were like, well, you're still going to jail, but you did a pretty good job, mate.
They didn't give a shit. And he was given life, meaning life. And he served 35 years in prison before dying there.
Good.
So the Beast of Manchester was no more.
No. He gone.
He's definitely gone.
Beast!
Beast!
Please comment, rate, review, tell your friends, subscribe, all those things. Share the love. Don't forget, if you are the top city, then you will feature on our mini episode, so we have a new top city next week. On Twitter we are Slaughter the Pod. On Facebook, if you type in S'Laughter True Crime will come up. You can add as a friend, then I'll add you to the group, or just add yourself to the group and I'll approve it. Email slaughterthepodcast@gmail.com. Please tell your friends, leave reviews. Even if they are
really quite angry.
Angry reviews about how we don't like guns and we're anti-gun crime.
That was one of my favourite reviews, that to be fair.
Review. I think you can only see it if you're on American iTunes, but it was a very angry review that we were not pro-gun. I mean, we're British.
And to be honest, I don't even remember talking about guns.
But trying to find a British person who's pro-gun is like trying to find a British person who's got good teeth. It's just not going to happen.
Or who doesn't drink tea.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. We're not into guns in Britain. So, I'm sorry. I stand by it. If you want a pro-gun podcast, this is not the one.
It's not. I don't know who we are for at this point. We've turned so many people away.
Just me.
This is not for you, or you, or you.
This is for ourselves. If you're still listening and you're enjoying it, this is for you. We love you. Thank you. Please tell your friends, you might enjoy it as well.
Remember, listening to Slaughter doesn't make you a psycho.
Killing people does. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.